Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. In a world where we're pulled into millions of directions, it's easy to forget the value of our own energy, our own time. Too often, we're so available to everyone else's needs that we lose touch with ourselves. But here's the truth. When you stop being consistently available for everything and all the changes around you, relationships evolve, respect deepens, and your life opens up to possibilities you never imagined. Today, we're diving into this transformative conversation and concept with someone who lives it, teaches it, and she's a master at it. Let's welcome Carolyn Terrett to the show. Share her wisdom, her inspiration, her actionable advice on how boundaries can elevate your life. And she is an expert in this, and she is also a personal development and grief expert as well. And she is just an amazing woman with a lot of great advice. And today we're going to talk about, I'd love to start this conversation with understanding the power of availability. Now, Carolyn, let's start with the core idea behind your philosophy. What does it mean when you're constantly available to someone else's needs, often led by others, taking us for granted?
It means you have no time for yourself. You have no life. Yeah, you have no life of your own. You're constantly in a struggle of giving up who you are for them. It took me a long time to learn how to do this myself. I mean, a long time, because I was a people pleaser. I wanted everyone to like me. Oh my gosh. And I was very quiet until my divorce in my early 30s. I didn't really speak much. I left it up to everybody else. It took me a long time to warm up to people, and I would just go ahead, and after I got to know them, then I would give everything to them to make sure that I was well liked and I kept the friendship and I wanted them to be happy.
It's crazy because I was the same way, and I think millions of people out there go through the same thing. I did that all the way to my late 40s. I was always trying to people please everybody, especially if I cared about them and I developed either a good friendship or relationship with somebody, or if it was a family member. Well, I would go all out and beyond, and it got me to a point where I got really drained in life, and I got to a boiling point where I had to stop and think for a second. Can I live life always pleasing others? Because it seems like it's hurting me mentally and physically by always thinking about everybody else and not putting myself beforehand. Now, was there a specific moment in your experience, in your own life, that made you realize the importance of boundaries and protecting your energy?
I think mine came through a work style because I love what I do with the company. And I go, go, go. And I got to the point where I would literally hit a wall. I would make sure that everybody was taken care of. I made sure that everything was handled, that everything was on top, 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 that the employees were really happy, that I was doing the right thing for the employees. And I hit the wall not once, but probably two, three, four times before I really understood I can't do this. I have to take care of me. You know, it's that old saying they tell you when you're on a plane. And I'm not sure I heard that on this last trip, honestly, or else I was already asleep. Mask comes down, put yours on first before you put on your child's mask. You don't take care of you. You're not around to take care of anybody else. And that is the honest truth. And I also learned that, unfortunately, when my late husband was in the hospital, I was in and out of the hospital so much with him for a month and a half. And it got to a point where, the guy's a doctor. And we would go to the emergency room. And it got to a point where they took me aside and said, "Do I have to call the police and call this elder abuse?" Well, hello. I'm not that much younger than him.
My
He's a
God.
physician. He knows what's going on with his body. Unfortunately, it was starting to show signs of breaking down, and that was their takeaway instead of going, "There must be something really wrong. We need to look at him." And I was so exhausted from taking care of him and coming and going. And I had two small dogs at the time at the house, too. I just flatlined. I couldn't get out of bed for a day. I was that exhausted. And I remember somebody telling me, you got to take care of yourself. You're just as important as taking care of him, because if you're not there for him, who's going to be there for him?
Exactly.
And I thought that sounded really selfish at the time, but it's not. And I've had to learn through all my years, and I'm telling you, it's a lot of years of experience and going through this therapy that I do with this incredible energy worker, of releasing all my old stuff and realizing that it's okay to have my feelings. It's okay to put up boundaries. It's okay just to be me. And I'm learning to do it from a really soft side instead of what I was shown from my father, that male, boom, 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 boom. We got to do, we got to do, we got to drive it home. We got to be the best at what we are. Oh my gosh. But ironically, as a teacher, I was soft spoken. I used a soft voice because I knew that's how I got their attention. So it's just interesting to see how much we learn and grow from in our experience. But I truly have learned there's nobody more important in my life than me.
And that is so wonderful that you came to that realization. It seems like a lot of us don't realize it till later on in life, and we feel guilty or shameful, you know, if we're not there for other people, if we're not giving the people around us that we love, especially our family members, if we're not putting out and trying to do everything for them or get their approval or get their love or get their attention, and you know, basically saying, "Hey, I love you. Look at what I do for you. Look, you need this."
Right.
You And you want them to know how much you love them, but at the same time, you're not taking care of yourself and it's exhausting you. And sometimes I can look at mothers and I could just pick out the ones that overdo it and don't take care of themselves, because you could just see it. You could see the drawnness on their face. You could see the way they look. You could see some of them, they don't care how they dress anymore. They look drained, their face, their eyes, everything. It just shows, you know, when you start to not really give yourself self-love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just in New York City with my kids and grandkids. Oh my gosh, I see how they do for their kids as I did for my son. And it really, I had to hold back and just observe. Be the best grandmother there is, but you know, they're going to learn how to find their pace also.
100%. I think sometimes being the best grandma is be saying the least you could possibly say, and sometimes maybe just fit it into a conversation naturally, but not really giving advice or your opinions, but just, you know, somehow sneak it in there every once in a blue moon, not all the time.
I had a I've got this great friend who's in her late 80s, and she gave me the best advice ever. And she said, honey, just sit there, nod your head, and open your pocketbook, and that's all you need to do. Don't give them any
It.
advice.
I love it. She's right. She's right. Definitely
Yep.
right. Now, when people hear the concept of stepping back from the constant availability, they might worry about how it's being selfish, just like we were just talking right now, or being unkind. How would you reframe that? I mean, you talked about putting the mask on, and you talked about, you know, and it's so true. That's like the best example you can give, is that when you're on an airplane, you can't help anybody else unless you put the mask on. Now, is there anything else about, like, because people sometimes worry, oh, people aren't going to like me. They're not going to see me as a good person if I don't always be there for them. What do you have to say for those people?
Toughen up, because that's exactly what I had to do with myself. I had to practice saying no so many times until it just felt natural to say, There's no easy way around it. You're either wired that way automatically, and then you've got those of us like you and I who love to do everything for everybody because we have such big hearts. It takes us a long time to learn how to say no. And after a while, you'll say no and you'll go, oh my God, that felt really, really good. And I learned that because of all the first. All the firsts happen when somebody dies. The first year is the year of firsts, the first holiday without them, the first birthday without them, the first Valentine's Day without them. And people will want to include you in all the activities, but I learned how to say no. And that was the best advice somebody gave me. I don't want to be around everybody right now. I'm okay being with me, and I had to learn how to be with me. And I had to learn how to be okay with me.
Yes. It took me practice to start to say no. And I almost, I was proud of myself last month because someone wanted me to do something. And at first I said, I was about to say yes. And then I thought about it. And then I emailed them back and said, I thought about the situation and I don't think it's a really good thing, for me and my children right now. So I think, even though they're not our children, they're grown people, we got invited somewhere, but we really didn't get invited. We were the people on the side where if we have a couple of seats or plates left, you could throw these people on, and
The
so I
last minute invite. Those are my favorite.
I didn't really feel comfortable being the last minute invite. And they're like, bring your kids. And I'm like, you know what? I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? If they wanted us to come, they would have asked us. Otherwise, this isn't really, thank you very much. But, I think we're going to pass on this. And normally, because it's family, I would have just like went anyway just to please that specific person. And I said to myself, I don't feel comfortable with it. And it might sound silly, just saying, but I was like, comfortable. And I had a hard time doing things like that. Just simple little things. When people asked me, family members or, close friends, things I didn't really want to do. And I said yes anyway because I cared about those people. But then at the same time, I'm like, Stacy, why are you saying yes? You
And
don't really.
how'd you feel after you said yes? What was the gut reaction to that?
I was disappointed and upset with myself. I was just like, it kind of like a sledgehammer, like hitting myself, it's just like, why are you doing this? What's the point? And I couldn't, it's just, I've always been a strong person, but when it came to things like this, I was a mush gush, but it definitely hit my self-esteem. It hit my integrity. It hit my pride, my respect for myself. All those things kind of got like a little dent every time I said yes, and I wanted to say no.
Yeah, and it's awful, and you can feel it. I remember saying yes to a business deal and waking up in the middle of the night and I was in panic state. So I knew that was the wrong thing for me. And unfortunately, I got stuck in it because I said yes. I didn't listen to my gut reaction. You know, your gut and your heart are really what motivate us, and we really have to learn how to listen to that. I think because in the technology world now, we're so used to instant gratification. I'm setting up my new phone and I can't even get my messages to come up as quickly as I want. It's like, oh my God, maybe I should give the phone back. Maybe it's a bad phone. It's a lemon. What's going on? Stupid thinking. It really is. That's that instant gratification. And the same thing. Slow down. Take a beat. Think about it. You don't have to give an answer right away. And that's what I've learned. Also, in the process of taking care of me, I don't owe anybody an answer. I don't owe anybody an explanation. The only person I owe it to is myself. And as long as myself is happy and I'm filled with joy, that's the only reason we're here on this planet, is to enjoy our time here because it goes fast. I can't believe I'm clocking 70 in the next couple months. It's ludicrous. I mean, where did time go? I have a son in his mid-40s. There's no way.
I was just thinking the same thing in the shower this morning. I was in the shower and I was literally thinking, wow, I am 53 years old. I said to myself, I said, I'm halfway, I've just passed the middle timeline mark. And I'm like, before I know it, I'm thinking about how my family just, I remember them when my parents were in their 40s running around. I remember all these little things. And now my mom's in her late 70s, my dad's in his early 80s. And I'm like, where did the time go? How quick is this next part of my life going to be? And what am I going to do in this next part of my life to make sure that I'm fulfilled and I'm happy with where I am? Because I think that's what people really have to stop and think. Our legacy, are we going to be, when we leave, we're going to say that we did the things we wanted to do and that we were happy and we had lived a fulfilling life. And if we, I think if we took that mentality, life would be so much better, if we thought like that rather than worrying about everybody else.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely. What's joyful? I was talking with somebody in New York who's actually a friend of my son's, and he said, "Oh my gosh, you really like things that make you happy." And I never thought of it that way. And he's so right. I like to surround myself with happy things, which is why my house looks like a little French garden in here and tons of Mackenzie Childs. It makes me happy.
And that's what's important. And what are some of the early signs that a person's relationship or work environment might need boundaries to reset their protection of their own energies?
I think the early warning sign, especially that I've seen for myself, is the fact that I start barking orders and I'm grumpy and I'm irritable and I'm not saying things as soft as I know I can. That's when I know I've overextended myself. So I've started putting boundaries on my work life. No meetings on Fridays. I don't even really want to do meetings on Mondays. I want to stop work at 4 o'clock, as hard as that is, because I've got East Coast, West Coast time zone working with us. But it's important for me because I was putting in 14-hour days. They're long. It's too much. Even though I was raised and trained that way, it's too much. And then in my personal life, I mean, let's admit it, we spend majority of our life at the work arena. Your friends are there, your life is there, your interaction is there. You bring it into the house at night, you're a mess. You come in and don't talk to me, I'm really irritable. And unfortunately, the other person there goes, "Well, what did I do?" That triggers them to thinking they did something wrong. It really snowballs into such a bigger brouhaha than it really should be. If you haven't settled things within yourself, you haven't figured out what's going on in there. When we opened our practices in the early 2000s here in Arizona, I had one employee who loved to bring her home life in with her. And Dr. T had to have a talk with her and said, "Look, you hit the door, your home life stays outside the door. You hit the office, it's your office." And that's so true. I think, when you come in your door of your home, park that like you park your car. Leave that baggage outside. Trust me, you can pick it up the next morning and drive off with it. It'll still be there. But don't do that to somebody else. That's it, it's so it amazes me how much we project who we are onto somebody else, and we make our issues become their issues. And this is bouncing all day long, unless you really understand who you are.
Was it hard for you? Because I know for my husband having a wellness clinic, and it was very hard for him just to hang up the coat because they'd find him anyway. And for me, it was hard too because you go through struggles, and sometimes you just want someone to lean on. But then it's not a healthy lean either. You don't want to come home with your problems or your work problems, and even though you're looking for comfort and support. It's not a healthy relationship because you should be focusing on different things, fun things, joyful things, laugh, and how did you do it? It did it take time to be able to learn how to hang up the coat?
I'm still trying to hang the coat up.
Yeah.
My late husband was great at it, but then, he'd come home and he didn't want to talk to anybody, even me.
Right.
So it's like, hello, because you've been talking to people all day long. He
Yes.
just wanted to come home and be able to zone out in front of the TV.
Exactly.
There's somebody else in my world who they know, they've learned, and they're showing me what it's like to cut it off. And it
Yeah.
just amazes me how they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you just close that door so easily? You don't talk about work at all. That's all I've ever talked about.
Right. Yeah.
When you live and breathe and work with a spouse 24 hours a day, oh my gosh, it really got embedded into my cells. So it's a breath of fresh air to watch this other person be able to close the door. I said, how did you do this? How do you literally shut it off? And he said, well, I had 35 years as a personal trainer, and I just got so burnt out, I had to learn how to do it myself. Because he
Wow.
was listening. He's like a bartender. He had to listen to everybody's story. But it was
Yeah.
funny. He told me a story. He said, if they came to complain to me, I said, you can either pay me $100 or you can do push-ups. Which do you want?
I love it. I love it. It's like a hairdresser. Your hairdresser is your therapist. You know, they should get
Right.
paid double what they do because they're doing
That's
therapy
right.
and they're doing your hair at
That's
the
right. And there's another trick that it's not so much a trick, but I've taught my employees to don't come to me with your problems. We all
Yes.
have problems. I don't want to hear the problem. I want you to come to me with a solution.
Right.
There's an issue. Find a solution and come to me with the solution. Don't expect me to fix it. That took me a long time to untangle that weave that I really got them so used to me being the fixer.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest problem when you are the fixer, everything you feel like the whole world is it
Oh.
all top of your shoulders, and everybody for the littlest things, they automatically becomes a habit for them. They run to you for, and these things they could fix themselves, but they're so used to running to the fixer, you know, that they just run to that one specific person for every little thing, even the smallest little things, you know, Monday, you know, all the way to the, you know, even the weekends, you know, it's just like they just consistently
Nonstop. Yeah.
nonstop. And that's very draining for that person. Very, very draining. Now, for listeners who are ready to embrace the concept of creating boundaries and creating ways of saying no, what's the first practical step they can take to evaluate their time and their energy and avoid being drained?
Start with something small to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
Really, just a if it's a lunch with a friend, learn how to say no. I would love to. I need to do this for myself. If you start with the little stuff, then you start building up, and you start realizing I didn't need to do all these activities.
Yeah.
It's like sending out my grandkids are in every activity you could imagine. And I think they're finally learning where's the playtime just for them.
Yeah.
So you've got to find that balance of really taking yourself into accountability of, no, this doesn't work for me. It doesn't have to be a harsh way to say it. I appreciate the invitation, but I'm going to have to pass. And it's
Right.
that simple.
And that's great advice because I know so many people that, especially as grandparents and parents, you know, they feel that it's necessary to be at every game, especially the grandparents. And it's, you know, they go out and they try to be supportive, but then it wears on you too because as we get older, we don't have that oomph that we had, you know, when we were in thirties and.
Oh, Stacy, I can tell you that for sure. Being with them for 4 or 5 days in a row of running to the park, running here. I clocked 10,000 steps a day in New York of where we were going, what we were doing, gymnastics, park, a recital, back to the park. It's playtime at the house. I came home exhausted.
I can.
It took 2 days to recuperate. Not to mention that 3-hour time zone is a big time suck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It wears on you. It wears on you a lot. And I see some grandparents doing that. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. And I've seen grandparents get worn down. The ones who consistently do it and don't give themselves breaks, well, it shows after a while. And it's not healthy. And then I think to myself, don't the parents, even though they see what it's doing to the grandparents, because sometimes, that they think, oh, they're my parents, they'll be there for me. But then they have to kind of think too, at a certain age, they're not 30 and 40, 40 years old where they were able to jump around and run around. It takes a toll on your body. It takes a toll on your health. It really does.
It does. My kids asked me to stay a couple more days and I had to say no. I love to stay, but I need to get home. Was I feeling guilty? Yeah, a little bit, especially when I get the video of the award from the school, but it passes. This too shall pass.
And that's important that people, I think, should remember this too shall pass, and just be able to not, it's okay to say no. It's okay to set boundaries. You shouldn't feel guilty. Like we said, self-care, self-love. Now, for what advice do you have for maintaining boundaries for long term and ensuring that you don't lapse or phase over time?
Oh, I think we're all gonna relapse. We're all going to do the, oh, I'd love to go, I'm gonna go. And then you get there and go, why am I sitting here? And then it's just common. We're just human. It's just the experience of over and over, and repetition really starts to set in when you start to learn how to say no. This is for me, this is my self-care. I like to set aside time for me during every day for just me. Just me. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me. Don't try and text me or call me because I'm not going to answer you. And that's another great thing to do for yourself. I don't care what you do in that time period. Mine is just completely zoning out for 20 to 30 minutes. You do what you want. But I think it's important we all take time for ourselves. No doubt about it.
Now, one of the promises of being able to transform and grow is creating space for growth and happy relationships. Can you share a personal story or an example of how the transformation has played in your life or others has worked with you? How it's made such a change that you feel that you've grown from making these changes, saying no, creating boundaries, being able to put yourself first. How has this changed you or somebody or the people around you?
I think the people around me were shocked at first. For me, it's almost like a right into adulthood. I mean, it truly was. I think I've seen myself grow and change this past year in ways that even amaze me. I thought I was strong before, but this is an inner strength now. That's a really nice resilience that I've picked up from it. That I'm okay being with me. I'm good being with me. My younger sister loves to take care of me, make sure I'm okay, I'm good. What can I do for you? What do you need? I'm okay. Let me be.
Sometimes I find the most beneficial times I've had was when I was with myself and just quiet time, just doing whatever I like to do, whether it was picking up a book, taking a walk outside on a nice day, or just doing something that I enjoyed, or just relaxing and doing nothing. It depends on what the moment was and what I felt I needed, and not having other people around me. Sometimes, with my personality, sometimes I like to be alone. I kind of reset myself, recharge myself. I enjoy being alone. People sometimes feel the need to always have people around them. I'm kind of the opposite,
Yeah, I am too. I know when I want to be around people, and then I know when I just need to be with me. And it's really an incredible feeling to be with yourself. I never thought I could take myself out to a meal by myself, and I tackled that. Was it scary at first? Oh, hell yes. Oh my God. And people are looking at me. What are they thinking? The mind chatter just goes constantly. And then once you do it, it's not so bad. There are a lot of people who eat by themselves. I'm not the first one. I won't be the last one.
It's very true. Now, how can stepping back from constant availability help people rediscover their passions, then their goals and their purpose in life?
Stepping back from what?
From being able from stepping back from not from saying no, from not doing not being that people pleaser anymore, from going from actually a people pleaser to taking care of yourself by stepping back. What are the changes, the positive changes in your life that you notice by being able to set boundaries, to say no, to be able to take care of your first and not always worry about everybody else and always put yourself the last one?
Well, I think to reiterate some of the things that I've told you of giving myself that time block every day, to not taking meetings on Fridays, to making it a light Monday, even though they're pretty crazy, as you know, in the medical world. Just to making sure that I'm okay so I can be there for somebody else. Checking in with myself periodically, too.
I like that. Now, if there was one powerful takeaway or mantra that you would like our listeners to leave today with about protecting their time, their energy, what would it be?
Listen to yourself. Learn to be the best you can be. Whatever it takes, whatever it looks like, whoever you are, really stand in the power of who you are. You'd be surprised at how much you have to give. There's a ton of love and joy and excitement in there if you're willing to tap into it and let it out.
I love that. I love that. Now, what's the significance about giving ourselves permission to say, I matter? And how simple is that? And how simple does that affirmation shift everything?
Oh, I've been doing affirmations since the 70s? No, 80s, somewhere in there. It's a long time ago. But who's counting? I love affirmations because they reset me. They really do. They get my mind focused on what it is I need. And it, again, brings it back to that joy and that happiness. And that's all that matters. Really is. If you're not happy going out and you said yes, who do you have to blame for that one? You know, just yourself. Because then you start taking it out on everybody else. I'm not happy here. I'm angry. I'm irritable. And then you ruin the vibe of the reason you went out.
Now, this has been wonderful, Carol Ann, and I thank you for reminding us that our energy is sacred and our time is valuable and boundaries are life-changing. To everyone listening today, growth begins when you create space, then what you really focus on in life, what truly matters. And here's to embracing that freedom. Thank you so much, Carol Ann. Before we go, is there anything else that you'd like to maybe input, before we leave that you want people to, think about as we end this podcast?
I think everybody really needs to know who they are. It's a journey, it's an exploration, it's scary, it's spooky, it's fun and exhilarating. So, really take time to get to know yourself.
I love
Aww.
that. Thank you so much, Carolyn. I really love you. I think you are the best when it comes to really opening people's eyes up to new ways of, dealing with life, dealing with, hardships, and just learning how to find the joy and happiness in your life. Because we all have the ability to overcome crisis. We all have the ability to overcome obstacles. It's not easy, but we have the ability. We have that inner power within us, and we all can do it. Because when push comes to shove, what's the purpose if we're not happy and we don't live a joyful life? And, sometimes it takes practice, it takes time, it takes, ways of learning how to do it. But with anything, if you really want something and you try to do it, you shall succeed.
Very nicely said. Very nicely said.
Well, I love you and I can't wait to see you soon. Remember, everybody, this is the founder of Sotopelli Therapy, and she is wonderful. She has a wellness clinic and in Phoenix, Arizona, and she is just an amazing person. And she has them scattered throughout all over the United States in different areas if you look them up. And she, her husband was the creator of hormone pellets, estrogen pellets. And she lives on with his memory today. She lives on to bring what he created to keep it alive and to help women and people who suffer from hormone imbalance and suffer from different conditions to help them live their life to their full potential and live a joyful, happy life. So thank you once again, Carolyn. I love you to death, and I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Yeah.